Well, I have my good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Dusty's up at Olive Branch Baptist Church beginning a revival service this morning. So we need to be praying for him. He'll be up there through, he's going to come back and forth, but he's also, he's going to be up there on Wednesday, through Wednesday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. So we need to be praying for him as he's up there this week, okay? A couple of praises I want to pass along. We're singing hallelujah. We need to pray, pass along is, Daniel Darnell, our beloved Daniel, still not with us this morning. He did get a good report back this week from the doctor if you didn't read your email. They ruled out leukemia as far as from his blood test. It's okay. It's okay to clap. It's all right. It's all right. And now he goes back this week to find out more detail exactly what is wrong. But the doctor feels very good that whatever it might be, they should be able to take care of it. Okay, so continue to pray for Daniel. And also, Miss Beverly. Got a good report this week. Mr. Dell's back there. Miss Beverly got a report this week that our cancer had actually shrunk. So we praise God for that. And she does not have to go back to the doctor herself until January. So she's got a little break from that. So we praise God for that. It's good to see Mr. Dell here with us this morning. So pass along that we shared those praises, Mr. Dell, and then we'll continue to pray for Miss Beverly. We love her, okay? One other thing about Chris and Angela that Pam nor Rick failed to mention. They're from a very specific place in South Carolina. And what's so significant to that, to the Georgia fans here, is, Chris, stand up and tell them where you guys live near. I know you don't actually live in the town, but why don't you stand up and tell them what town in South Carolina that the Georgia fans love to hear the name of?
University of Clemson. But I don't like him any more than y'all do.
Chris, sorry. You weren't supposed to tell that part. Come on now. I mean, James is over there in agony already, probably, just hearing the word. He's not. Some of them aren't going to be able to hear anything else now, Chris, because they heard that blasphemous name of Clemson. So, all right, well, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to share some things with you, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do bless you. We do honor you. And God, I pray today that we wouldn't wait until we're gathered here on Sunday morning to say hallelujah. Because, Father, you're good all the time. That doesn't change because of news reports. It doesn't change because of sinus infections. It doesn't change because we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay the next bill with nothing in the checkbook. Father, you are good because that's who you are. That's who your word says you are. And Lord, as we gather this morning, very briefly, I know you're going to speak. May you continue to speak throughout the day. Protect this time. Lord, I pray a blessing and anointing on our brother Dusty. Lord, I know you're going to speak through him. May you prepare the hearts of people here and the people there. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. This morning, I'm going to share pretty briefly with you, okay? So pay close attention. You don't need your phones, you don't need your iPads or any electronic device. I got the scripture right up there on the overhead for us. So John, if you want to go ahead and put that up. I'll be looking at John 15, 1 through 11. It's a very familiar scripture. Most of you probably read it 1,000 times and heard 12 sermons and probably read 100 devotionals on it. And one of the things about this scripture is that it speaks to all of us in a lot of different ways, and that's good. Because I need you to be mindful of something today, and that is, when you leave here, God's not through speaking about this scripture. He isn't done. He didn't put a period in it at the end of the service. He's just going to continue throughout the day, maybe throughout the week. In my opinion, this is one of those scriptures that you could spend hours on. But I'm just going to share a few brief things that I feel like God told me to share with you because that's one of the things that God is speaking to me about. So let's read it together. It's a few slides. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. I think this scripture this morning has a lot to it, as I already said. But I want you to know that your responsibility is how do you apply it in your life? How are you going to take ownership? Because it is your responsibility as God speaks to you, as you hear from Him, what are you going to do with it? And I'm going to remind you of that at the end again. But one of the things that always I struggle with sometimes when I think about that in my own life, I feel it's kind of like a story that I came across this week as I was reading. I love stories, true, made up, or kind of in between. Because I read a story this week about a missionary that was on the mission field in a remote part of the world. And as he had set up where he was going to minister to the people there, he had brought something that none of them had ever seen, a light bulb. Obviously, we struggle with seeing light bulbs. Okay? All right, we're waiting for them all to go out. Okay? We're not going to change one at a time. We're just going to change them all at one time. All right? And as this missionary began to minister to this group of people from where he was based out of, one of the people he was ministering to came into the campsite or to where he was living, and he saw a light bulb, and it was on. And the gentleman said, "Can I have a light bulb?" "Absolutely, you can have one." Missionary gave it to him. Thought he's going to kind of use it as a trinket. Just kind of go back and show his family, his friends, like, check this thing out, okay? Some time went by. The missionary went to where this gentleman lived. He walked into this person's dwelling place, and the light bulb was hanging from a string. The missionary said, "Why do you have it like that?" The gentleman said, "Well, I'm waiting for it to turn on." Now, my fellow brothers and sisters, there are aha moments, okay? But God is your source. What are you going to do with what God's speaking to you today? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to use it as God intended it to be used? Okay? John, give me point number one. Bearing fruit and abiding in love, one of the first things you have to do is you just got to let go and let God. You've got to understand today in our lives that this process that Jesus is talking about in these verses is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's an opportunity to help us grow. And this is something that I believe a lot of us struggle with that have been in the church for years. We believe we have reached a point that says, "I'm done growing." This process that Jesus is talking about in John 15, 1 through 11 says it's a lifelong process. That my Father will clean you up so that you can be useful in the kingdom of God. First truth you need to realize today is you are designed to be useful in the kingdom of God. You got to come to that realization that God intended for you to be useful. You're not a waste. Your gifts, your time, your talents, they are not a waste. But this is a lifelong process. That yes, it is part of letting God be the vine dresser, the one doing the pruning, the one doing the cleanup. Yes, it is sometimes cutting away the dead. But you know, part of what a vine dresser does, it takes away parts of life that seem good, so therefore the best, God's best, can flourish. So you may be there this morning. Some of us have lived quite a few years. And in those few years, we've had disappointments. We've had broken dreams. People have disappointed us. Hopes have come and gone. But we've also had some really good things happen. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're serious about letting go and letting God, you have to allow God to evaluate all of it. All of it. Okay? And God is in it for His glory and His honor, for His kingdom. Because again, that verse, those verses when you read those, they may sound like, man, God's just going to come and He's going to take away all the garbage. He might, but he's going to leave all the things I'm enjoying in life. Let me tell you something, the reality is this. If it's not part of God's plan, it's on the chopping block. And that's just a fact. Okay? That's just a fact. God has a sense of humor. I remind the people at 9:30 of that all the time. God has a real sense of humor. And in my life, He shows that out over and over and over. When I was in college, I had some roommates. We had just moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. And they had gotten a job at UPS, Now, most of you have never seen what UPS looks like in a large city. It's not like what's in Savannah, Georgia. It's huge. Thousands and thousands of packages a night. My roommates had a job there. I was like, God, please let me get a job there. I turned my resume in. God, please let me get a job there. God gave me a job there. The joke was on me. You know what I did for an entire year? You know the semi-trucks, not those little brown boogers that drive around with a few packages on it. The semi-trucks from 10 or 11 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning, I loaded packages with a 10-minute break in between. I realized God was laughing at me probably the whole year. Because you know what? I said, God, this is what I want. God said, okay, if this is what you want, I'll show you. The incentive for the pruning part that came in my life was is this. Dane, you ain't quitting school. Because you will not be stuck in the back of this semi loading boxes for the rest of your life. And that part of it is this, that God does have a useful, glorifying plan for your life. You have to let go, and you have to let God. Today, guys, He might be cutting away the dead, but He might be cutting away something that you see as life. But it's not Him giving you that, or it's not His life He's given, and He's wanting to cut away something that you're finding life in that's not Him. He wants Him to be the source of that life. So you really do have to let go and let God. Point number two, John. Guys, this is a process of closeness. I want you to think about this for a second. How close does God have to be to you to speak to you, to show you things, to reveal things to you through His Word, through His body, through His Spirit, through circumstances, to say, hey, look, I'm doing something here and we're so close. If you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust me, this is going to turn out better than you can imagine. And you may not ever understand that, and this is the difficult part. You may never understand this until you're in heaven. God is doing things in our lives that don't always make sense on this side. And that's just a fact. But this is a process of closeness. Because we are connected to the branch, which is Jesus. And He is connected to the Father, and He's brought us into that connection. And listen, that connection brings into a transformation. That transformation is just like Dusty was saying the last couple weeks, should be bringing us into a picture that looks just like Jesus on this earth. Anytime I go to Disney World, one of the things that amazes me is those crazy bushes out front. Because I think, who in the world takes all the time to make them look like those little creatures? I mean, really, think about this for a second. Somebody works a long time, and did you know they work very frequently on those bushes? They don't just come by once a year and go, okay, I'm going to make this one look like Mickey Mouse. No, they come by all the time working and pruning and listen and looking at saying what this can become. This is a process of closeness. Most of us use words like this when we're being honest with ourselves. I just wish I was closer to God. That's not a God problem. That's an I problem. Because He desires the closeness. He desires real closeness, real intimacy. That when a broken dream is realized, or there's a disappointment, or there's a huge blessing, you can accept it and say, God, how are you going to use this for your glory and your honor? But it's a process of closeness. And Jesus is very honest in the Scripture. This John 15 is situated in those chapters, John 15, 16, and 17, a little before, a little after, where He goes into a lot of things. But this bearing fruit and abiding love is important to get. Because this is one more opportunity to experience the closeness of God the Father as He works in us. Listen, don't fight it. Embrace it. It's a God thing. It's not a negative thing. The kingdom of God is full of people that need to be letting God mold and shape their thoughts, their habits, their lifestyles. It's imperative because too many of us allow the internet, the TV, our media, our electronic devices, the things that come to us through those to shape and mold us way too much. This is a process of closeness. So if you desire to be closer, He's ready and willing and able. Point three, John. You and I are called to produce fruit, but we're commanded to abide in love. I want you to get that. Jesus did not tell us in that passage. He did not command you to bear fruit. He commanded you to abide in His love, the Father's love. That verse right there, when it uses the word abide in verse 9, it's a verb that says to accept, to become a part of that which you are abiding in. That should sound good to you today. You used to say, yes, I long to be close to God. You long to do that. And I found this version, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I found this version of the message that I found very applicable today. It's going to be on the next slide also. So let me read this to you. Fruit of the Spirit. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life. I'll be honest, how exuberant have you felt this past week? Serenity. Think peace. Think a peace that begins on the inside and goes to the outside. We develop a willingness to stick with things. Oh my gosh, I could spend a day talking about how our culture gives up and gives in. A sense of compassion in the heart and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. Not all things are of God. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Now look at this last part. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It is crucified. It is crucified. I want you to think about that word in the context of the vine. The gardener saying, we're going to crucify the death, the things that are causing death in your life, and we're going to crucify anything that's not of me. Because I've got my purpose in mind. My garden is to bear fruit. John, go back. I want you all to sum that, because I probably most of you have never read that message version. I'd read it a long time ago. Guys, this right here is counterculture. Serenity. Exuberance for life. Honestly, how many of you are looking forward to tomorrow morning? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? How many of you are looking forward to... Logan, you're lying because you got school tomorrow. Unless there's some new girls in class. I don't know, maybe you are. I don't know, maybe. Anyway. But how about this? Our culture, developing a willingness to stick to it. See it through to the end. Not give up. Guys, this whole passage, the 1 through 11, and this Galatians passage of the message, speaks right against the way our culture sees life. Because in essence, I'm going to summarize what our culture says about Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Find something on the outside to make you happy and do whatever it takes to make you happy. Do whatever it takes to make from the outside in make you happy. But that is not called to produce fruit that lasts, that is living. That produces fruit that's death, that is dying, and will have no lasting value. A vine united with the branch, which is Jesus, unites us with the Father. Do you want closeness today? Do you really want to be close to the Father and see His way? Because guys, we preach about this all the time. It's in Rick's devotionals all the time. It's a Dusty's message. It's in our time at 9:30. This boils down to one thing. It's all about the relationships. It's all about the relationships. Your relationship through Jesus with God the Father and how it affects the relationship with one another. You tell me that you start producing fruit that lasts, it doesn't change things at your home, it doesn't change things at your work, it doesn't change things when you go to school, it doesn't change things at the grocery store, okay? Because I've had times, I'm not even going to share these stories with you, I've had a few times lately in the store. The Lord helped me. I'm telling you, it took everything I had not to take somebody out. Okay? I'm not kidding. I'm just being honest. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you the story because it'd be embarrassing. Okay? Let's just say me and the disciples were looking for hellfire and brimstone, and none came. Okay? Called to produce fruit, commanded to abide in love, agape love. When God the Father is saying is I'm going to give you my best. No matter what I get back from you. It's all about the relationships. He desires us to be full of joy. What did it say in verse 11? The last thing Jesus said in verse 11. Go back to verse up there for me, John, the last. All right. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. 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 That sounds like something I want. That's something that I desire. And I think you want it and I think you desire it. You know why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside of us. This is all about God and a relationship with Him, but it's about being full of joy. John, you can go back to that third point. He desires us to be full of joy. Because when you're running on empty, you're running out of bitterness towards the world, towards your relationships. Maybe you're angry at God. You're just like that light bulb hanging in that plate, that person's house that's attached to a string. You're hanging there, and that's all you're doing. You're a trinket. You're an ornament for someone to come in and say, isn't there something more useful for that thing? God's challenge today, let's be more useful. John, hit it. What are we going to do? Let's start with the basics. Let's be thankful He loves you with such great care. A care to take the time, to put the effort in. I mean, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a love. Be thankful He loves you with such great care. And don't settle. Be full of joy. Get hungry for God. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't sit here today and say, you know, tomorrow I'm going to look back at John 15, 1 through 11. It's okay to do that this afternoon. It's okay to do that as soon as you leave here. It's okay to go ahead and continue the conversation with God. That's okay. Bring some questions. Bring some concerns before Him. You can get ready to do that in just a few minutes. Embrace what God is saying and doing in your life today. Embrace it. Don't fight Him. Don't argue with Him. Relax. Relax. Don't be so tense when God speaks to you. Enjoy it. Even if He's saying, hey, you thought that in your life was a good thing, but my God thing is even better. Relax. Be thankful. Don't settle. Be full of joy. Get hungry. Get hungry. And there's a place in London. It's called Hampton Place. You can look it up when you go home. There's a vine there. It's one vine. Just one vine. The trunk is 2 feet thick. It's a grapevine. Depending on what you read about it, it's either a few hundred years old or it could be 1,000 years old. Okay? But its longest vine at present is 200 feet. But it receives all of its nourishment back from the original. Doesn't receive it from anywhere else. It produces hundreds of pounds of grapes every single year. And all year long, the whole team of gardeners has to take care of it to get it to do this. Now, you can go see it, but it's there to produce the fruit. Chris, I think it's cool that you're here today. No, I do. I do. This might make you cry, okay? I'm going to give you a heads up, okay? All right? Because I know your dad is leaving a legacy, okay? Because when something's of God, you leave life. You don't leave death. You leave life. And I want you to understand today, that's your choice. I mean, that's your choice. It isn't that hard until it comes time to make the decision, is it? What am I going to do? Abby's left life. And it's good life. Chris, it's not the only one, by the way. Okay? But are you going to embrace it? I mean, really embrace it. Because I want you to know, I believe most Christians in America spend a little time flirting with God, but they never really fall in love with Him. They just like to flirt with Him. God does not settle for being flirted with because He loves us too much. So I tried to make it brief because I want you to see what, I want you to continue to see what God's saying to you. Gary, come on down. Rick told us early on, you got a card in your bulletin. Altar will be open so people will be gathered around for you to pray with. The most important thing is to embrace God in this moment as He continues to speak to you. I went through it quickly to allow you time to see what God's saying to you and to me. Because there are people we have yet to meet that are depending on us to hear what God's saying to us. It's not just about you. It's about people that you haven't met. Are you leaving a testimony of life? Let's pray. Lord, we bless You. We thank You for the time. We thank You for speaking. Lord, I'm asking You to just reveal some things right now. I'm asking You to speak some specifics here. Show us Your will and Your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. If you want to come pray with somebody, that's fine too. If you haven't brought your cards or envelopes up, you can do that as we conclude. And got a little basket there in the back. Like I always encourage us, continue to wrestle with what God's saying to you today. You have no idea on this side of heaven how important those things are that He's speaking to us today. Good things, great things, God things. So let's pray, and you can go your merry way. Lord, we bless You today for Your Word. Your Word is truth. It always is, always has been, and always will be. God, Your love for us is just going to echo right on into eternity. And I'm thankful for that today. God, I'm asking You to help us feel Your love, to feel Your presence today. Lord, I'm asking You to want You more than anything else on this earth, to really want You, to love You the way You love us. God, I pray today that we would understand that at times that's not easy. Lord, it's something You want too. So You're going to give us the strength. You're going to guide us. You're going to help us. We bless You. We honor You. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I walk.